Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll free 888-68-CRAZY. 888-68-CRAZY. And share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. What do you do as a security patrol officer in charge of keeping out the living when the dead continue to invade the space you guard? That's the conundrum one finds themselves in today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you love the content and you want more of it, get all the EPP bonus episodes, more than 300 of them. You go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP there. Or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all the bonus content there. Both same places, same content. $5 a month to support the show and get all the extras and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm doing well amongst the land o' boxes. I'm just going to make my next desk out of boxes from the Home Depot. And then it's just going to be like a childhood play space. Because I remember I used to make so many things out of boxes as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I would make desks and I would make forts out of them. I feel kind of at home amongst boxes.
You like cozy spaces.
Yeah.
So the cozier, the more stuff that's in it, the better.
Yeah, I'm going to actually put my studio into a coat closet in the next house. And it's just going to be, you may have to like sit on the couch and have a mic over there. And I'm just going to shut the door and be amongst the coats.
I think your next office is smaller, but it is not your smallest office you've had.
No, it's close to the first office studio that we had, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No?
No, it's about a third bigger than that.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
Can we put animal murals on the wall in that one?
You can do whatever you want.
Because you actually, well, that was when it was a little nursery room for when Harp was little.
Yeah.
You had raccoons and stuff on the wall.
I painted trees with raccoons in them and all kinds of stuff.
The weird part was the raccoon that was in, Jenny did kind of Where's Waldo type stuff to it. And there was a raccoon that was hidden in the branch holding a human arm in its mouth. And it was really weird.
No.
And it was just like, this is kind of.
Didn't do that.
It was cute. Yeah. But
the way I did it was cute, not the way you're describing it.
No, I'm talking about the way I'm describing it. No. It was cute. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's jump over to our first story. It says, I've always had experiences with the paranormal, but this one haunts me to this day. I was a sophomore in high school around 15 or 16 years old. My dad was an alcoholic who would always fight with my mom. They had marital issues for a while, but kept it together for me since I was the last child in the home. The house we lived in was a corner house, blue with a big tree. You can't miss it. Though it looked pleasant inside, it's where you felt the anger, sadness, and dark presence inside. The feeling of someone watching you. My mom said my dad might have pissed off some bruja, a witch, who he might have talked to in the past, because she would hear cackling outside their window every night. I believe that was my dad who had a dark presence connected to him. That presence thrived off the fighting, the arguments, the feeling of dread. My dad got upset one day when I told him to stop drinking, that it's going to kill him. And I remember sitting in the kitchen step and he walked right past me and said, "If I die and go to hell, don't cry for me." One day when my dad got really drunk and locked me and my mother out of the house, when we begged him to open it, he opened the door and started shouting obscenities. I was in shock because he never talked to me like that. Next thing I know, he walked out with a suitcase packed. He left us. A couple of months passed. He lived with his sister. She called us crying and said, "Your dad has stage 4 prostate cancer." Everything got worse, more fighting. One day my dad fell while trying to get out of bed and said, when he looked up, he saw a tall black mass in front of him. He knew it was his time, but my dad begged for more time so he can make things right. Unfortunately, he didn't. He battled cancer for 7 months, and after he passed, I had sleep paralysis. Pictures fell off the wall. My trophies on my TV fell. My mirror against my wall fell. Whatever was in my childhood home is still there even after he passed. My brother slept in my parents' room and said he saw a man leaning on the bed, but of course no one was there. My mother felt something get into bed with her, but I was in the living room asleep. But the dark presence was there because of something that happened before I was born. Thanks for reading. I love the show. I have more stories to share for later.
It sounds like it just moved on from the dad to whomever was left in the house, and that it wasn't going to necessarily, you know, go away once the father was gone.
Mm-hmm. It was something that was like just seeking out something to attach to, someone to attach to, that was suffering from something and just making it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just continued on. So the sleep paralysis and the trophies and all that, you're taking that as being something dark, not necessarily the dad coming back and going, "I'm here."
Yeah, because I don't think the dad would try and do that, since his goal was at the end to try and make things right. I don't think he'd come back and purposely do things to terrorize his kids. You know, I think come back, maybe try and getting the ghost that tried to get into bed with mom. I could see that, you know, that's not a threatening thing. I mean, sleep paralysis, that's terrifying. Throwing things around, breaking mirrors, that's terrifying. So it could be a mix of him trying to come back and make things right, but also whatever was there to begin with that tormented him is still there.
And that's a good example there of sleep paralysis that has something else attached with it going on, where we hear so often, like, how do I know if this is just sleep paralysis or something else? And deep down, it's more so a personal thing to know, but sometimes you get those extra bonuses, those little Easter eggs of, and now shit's going to go flying off your wall. And then that just really, it solidifies the experience as being something more than just sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And that's a prime example right there of it being just that. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. I'm going to make note here, and you've probably heard it in our feed. We have a new podcast that we're working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Nightmare Neighbors, and it's all about neighbors from hell.
Yeah.
Not ghost stories, not that, but just the living being horrible neighbors. And the timing is really kind of perfect for everything right now.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody is either you are great with your neighbors, or you're like, "I'm going to fucking move right now because I can't stand them." We're in the latter portion of that.
So is Carol, and so is Sean. We have all decided to move during this.
So what better podcast than to have one where you can talk about your nightmare neighbors? And it's anonymous. You don't have to worry about us, you know, pointing out who you are, your name or your city or anything like that. And we would absolutely love to hear it. Nightmare Neighbors, if it's not out there yet on Apple Podcasts and everything, it will be very soon. So be ready to subscribe to that, and you'll see another announcement in our feed. But hopefully by the time this airs, it'll be out. Nonetheless, if you have a Nightmare Neighbor story, please get that to us. Send it through our website. Go to nightmareneighbors.com. Or the phone number is 888
68 crazy.
68 crazy. 888-68.
We got to double check.
Crazy.
A new number for us to remember.
Yes. 888-68 crazy. 888-682-7299. 888-68 crazy. So that's ways you can share your Nightmare Neighbors stories with us. And I'm excited. I have the first handful of episodes put together. And we obviously, it's another listener fed show.
Yeah.
Very similar in format to this, except it's Nightmare Neighbor stories. So love to hear those. Please get those to us. NightmareNeighbors.com is the website. And then obviously be listening to our feed. We'll tell you when the Nightmare Neighbors is able to be subscribed to on whatever podcast platform you so choose. So.
I can't wait to record our first one today.
Yeah, we're doing it after we record some of the ghost story episodes. So it'll be fun.
Yes.
It'll be good fun. 855-853-4802 is the phone number for this program, Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says, hi from Brisbane, Australia. I've been a security officer for 33 years, and the amount of weird shit that I have seen or heard is beyond belief. When I started security patrols in Sydney in 1988, I was dispatched to a multiple alarm activation. The building was a museum of gear from World War II, plus some other items. On arrival, I did external checks and found another room that was out of control. The room reported the alarms were being activated. I was told the building was extremely secure, so probably a false alarm as I entered the building. When I went in, everything in my body screamed danger and get out of there. I removed my .38 revolvers from the holster, cleared the front area as I went to enter the back area, which is like a warehouse, and again, my senses were screaming at me. The area was pitch black as I scanned the area. I spotted two figures. I looked at them and assumed they were dummies. Just then, I heard a noise behind me. It was the police as they walked towards me. We heard movement, spun around, gun at the ready. While looking for the reason for the noise, I noticed the dummies had moved. The police spotted them now. Both were dressed as World War II military personnel, a male army officer and a female army nurse. I called out. They turned and ran through a door. We got through, the door was locked. We knocked and no answer. I told police not to worry as there were no windows in that area, so we waited for the dog squad and moved away from the door. While waiting for the dogs to arrive, the door opened, and all we saw was the top of a head and eyes. The police yelled, the door had slammed shut. This happened twice when the dogs arrived. It refused to go near the door. In fact, it almost bit the handler. So the dog was removed, and it was decided to go in, guns drawn. I followed police in, and we looked everywhere. No couple. Of course, I got abused by the police for letting them escape by being wrong about the exit that was, until I pointed out there is no exit and no damage. An officer found the clothing behind a bin, so where the fuck did they go? Just then the manager arrived. We told him what happened, and he went white and said, "Follow me." He opened a room which had a padlock on an entry door. He switched on the light, and standing in the room looking at us were the two dummies. Manager stated these were the only dummies they had, and they locked them in the room because every morning they had moved to different areas and alarms would be activated, so they locked them in the room. To this day, nobody has been able to figure out how they got from a secure room to another secure room while we were there. Love your show. Listen to your podcast while conducting patrol at night.
That is like the most terrifying version of mannequin I have ever heard. That is like, I hate mannequins anyway, just because they're so creepy.
Uh-huh.
But that's awful to know that every day when you go into work, they're going to be someplace different. And whether or not it's the mannequins that are doing it themselves or something doing it to the mannequins, mm-hmm. either one doesn't matter. It's terrifying.
Does it have something to do with the clothing they're wearing? The the uniforms from the war, or
could be. I mean, so much energy is attached to war artifacts that it could be something attached to it that's deciding just to have some fun at the expense of the living.
Yeah. That would be horrifying.
Yeah.
The dummies getting up and running around. Yeah, that would just be.
Yeah.
That's not the fun, wacky mannequin of 1985 or whatever
no,
it was.
No.
There's a mannequin movie. There's a lot of mannequins were a big theme in the 80s.
Why? I don't know. I don't know.
Did like mannequins like dramatically improve in quality in terms of like authenticness in the 80s? And people were like, damn, they look really real. I mean, I don't think so. I mean,
I don't know. Could it be that shopping became such a huge pastime in the 80s? So yeah, people saw mannequins a lot more.
Maybe it had a lot to do with the advent of the shopping malls in the late 70s and the 80s, where it was like mannequins were everywhere and there was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Mannequins. Do you remember there was a, it wasn't mannequin, but it was a horrible made for TV movie. And I don't remember what it was called, but it starred Vanna White. And she was a statue that came to life, like a porcelain statue or something like that. And it was horrible. But it was in that vein of mannequin type things where it's like mannequin was obviously the cinematic release. And then after there was a cinematic release of a movie in the 80s, there was usually like two or three weird half-assed made for television kind of same concept movies that would come out. And that was one of them.
Okay. So I don't remember that one, but there was one when we were little that I liked at Christmas that was about, it was like, I want a mom for Christmas or something. Mm-hmm. This little girl's mom had died. And Olivia Newton-John was the mannequin.
Oh, and she gets a mannequin mom.
The mannequin comes to life to be her mom at Christmas. And then it, you know, it has a happy ending and everything.
Did the like dad marry the mannequin mom?
Yeah, but I think that made her be real forever or something like that. I don't know. It was almost Hallmark-ish, but I don't think it was a Hallmark movie, but it was in that vein.
I think that probably also stemmed the great mannequin assault issue of 1987, where they were finding all these mannequins in shopping malls being assaulted by men that were like, I want to make this my wife. It was really...
That never happened.
There was, do you remember human mannequins? Where there would be like a competition sometimes in shopping malls where people would pretend to be mannequins.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was like a common thing.
It wasn't that long ago. Harp found that to be great fun while I was shopping.
Yeah.
And you would be watching her, and then she would get up in the window of whatever store I was in and she would just pose. You know, it could be like a, I don't know, like Forever 21, not that I shop there, but it could be a totally non-kids store.
Yeah.
And she'd get up in the window and she'd just pose and she'd just stand there.
And then she would flinch at people.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
She was like three.
And she would do it forever. She would hold that pose.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this kid's crazy.
It was hilarious.
You thought it was hilarious. I was mortified. I was just trying to shop and you guys ruined that. So now you guys go to like Dave and Buster's and I go shopping.
She's pretending to be mad. But aside from Harper screwing with people, it was like something, I don't know if it was a competition or what the hell it was, but you go to shopping malls and they'd be like, oh, that's a human mannequin. And it would be like a literally a person dressed in whatever clothing they're trying to promote. And they would stay still for like hours. And I remember seeing it quite a bit at Fox River Mall in Appleton.
Okay.
Like almost every time we would go there, it's like, oh, there's that one's a human mannequin. It was so weird.
I don't remember that.
Seriously?
I don't. Okay. And maybe I saw it and just didn't know that's what it was.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
You never see that anymore. No one ever says, I want to be a human mannequin. Like, what's your skill? I wonder if that's like a skill, like in like the beauty patch. It's like, I'm a human mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like one of the most boring. It's like, and for the next 60 seconds, he'll stand here on stage. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. It says this event happened in 2006, a few weeks after I had moved in my room at university. I've been taking a nap on top of my bed around midday and woke up when I needed to use the bathroom. Now, I've heard of sleep paralysis, but what happened this day was not this. I was lying on my back and I woke up with a feeling of force holding me down. There was pressure all over my body, stopping me from not only getting up, but moving even the slightest. This pressure was not as if someone was holding me down. It was as if a thick mass was surrounding me. And I just knew I had to get off the bed for some reason. My mind was just telling me if I could just get off the bed, I'd be fine. I could see my mobile phone on the bedside table, and I was just willing myself so much to try reaching it. I don't know how long I was struggling to do this, but the next part I remember so clearly. I looked down along the bed, and this being was there, clear as day. I was lying down on its, or it was lying down on its side with one arm propping its head up. It was lying there just looking at me so calmly. There's something so frightening about that calmness. I knew I was struggling, or it knew I was struggling, and it was enjoying it. It was on my right side. It's trying so hard to roll on my side to face away from it towards the wall on my left. I got a pretty good look at this creature, as I really wanted to know if I saw things correctly. Its image is now etched into my memory. I remember looking at it being disgusted as its appearance, the best way I can describe it, was scaly. It was covered head to toe, even its face, with bumpy, thick, dry skin, closely resembling scales, but it looked so uneven and rough. Its color was odd, too. It was like a mesh of muddy reds and murky, dull blues. It was humanoid shape, but not very tall or built. It had longer than usual fingers, with either long, dirty-looking nails or claws I couldn't distinguish. The creature appeared and repeatedly disappeared on different parts of my bed. Every time it disappeared, I was relieved and thought it had gone and left me alone. I'd try moving off the bed, but it would appear again either at the base of the bed or my left side now. For a while, it stayed on my left side and was lying close to my face, its hot breath on my skin. I could hear it breathing, so thick and raspy in my ear. I was closing my eyes now with fear. I didn't see this part, but I could feel its fingers stroking the hair near my forehead. It was gently stroking my hair, but it was just sinister. The whole thing was twisted. I was praying and begging in my head for it to just leave. It knew my praying was not working. It knew I was petrified, and it knew I couldn't do anything about it. But then the breathing stopped. The stroking stopped. I don't think it was because I was praying for it to go through. I think it just left on its own accord. The creature was something else. It wasn't so forceful or strong in the conventional sense, and it was powerful without it, which it was what scared me the most. I was finally able to get off the bed. I found it very hard to sit up and to walk to the bathroom, which was only a few feet away. It was very difficult. I felt like I was swaying. I called my friend who was in a unit with me to tell her about what happened and if I could stay around that night. There were never any other incidences like this in that room again, although since moving back from the university last year, a few events, not quite as extreme, but similarly vulgar, have happened at home, too. Now, this event, after reading others that I found online, unlike many of them, this was more of a solid entity than a shadow entity. Still trying to forget the fear that still lives with me to this day.
I still am leaning towards the camp of sleep paralysis because we've known for a long time now, after doing the show for so long, that sleep paralysis, the visitor, I guess, for lack of a better term, isn't always an old hag, isn't always a shadow. It can be just about anything. And I almost feel like this was just a different one because she was paralyzed and this thing was tormenting her.
I think it's quite typically whatever our mind is going to project individually as something that we'll be in fear of. So if that fearful image is this grotesque, scaly looking thing, that's what you get. For whatever reason, I think the old hag almost, when we're talking about sleep paralysis and it not being something paranormal, but it being something in our mind that's projecting some sort of fear. For many people, the common thing, I think it goes back to a childhood fear of like a witch. And that's where our minds go into this very, you know, what word am I looking for? Primal type fear. Mm-hmm. And one of the early things that many of us in our culture are told is scary and spooky, but not too spooky when we're little, but spooky enough to be spooky is a witch.
Yeah, the Halloween type things.
Yeah, I'm not talking Wicca. I'm talking Halloween witch, you know, hat, broom, that sort of deal. And so that's like imprinted in our minds at such an early age of spooky, scary. And then when we're in some sort of, you know, carnal situation of our mind is messing with us, our mind is trying to project fear. It's going to the database of fear. And that happens to be the one with the longest Wikipedia entry in your head. Mm-hmm. And boom, that's what you get, is this old hag witch type looking figure. And that's not to dismiss other sleep paralysis stories as being legitimate. I think there are plenty that are. We had one earlier in the show that was. But when it is just simply our mind, it's going to project whatever may be the spookiest thing that we have. And for many of us, it is the witch type old hag thing. For others, it's other things.
Yeah. But I'm not dismissing, when I say sleep paralysis, that doesn't mean to me, oh, well, it's not paranormal.
Yeah.
Because to me, I throw that in there as it could be, it might not be, with other things going on in the, it sounded like it was a college dorm type mm-hmm. situation. You know, it could be something that goes around and messes with a lot of people. So don't take my saying it's sleep paralysis as just a, oh, it's just in your head, it mm-hmm. didn't happen. That's not at all what I'm saying.
Sure. In my mind, I have... I wake up with sleep paralysis and it's Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Mr. McFeely.
He's standing there with the mailbag and he has mail for me. And it's horrible.
Nothing in a child's show should ever be named Mr. McFeely.
I know. It's the worst name you could have ever had. But it actually, and I'm not saying this is something from sleep paralysis, but what something I have had nightmares of does originate from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Lady Elaine.
Lady Elaine.
Okay.
That was the creepiest fucking puppet ever. Mm-hmm. Lady Elaine was a very witch-like looking thing that lived on this, it looked like a merry-go-round or rotating house that it was just weird. She lived off in the corner of the kingdom of whatever the hell it was. And
she wasn't meant to be scary. I think she was actually named after Mr. Rogers' sister.
It's the scariest, creepy puppet ever.
To you.
Well, they notice they never revived Lady Elaine as another character on Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. They were like, oh, here's Lady Elaine again.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that one scarred a ton of kids. Lady Elaine.
You're so funny. If it scarred you, it scarred a ton of kids.
It did.
Yeah.
I've had people agree with me on this because I mentioned it before. Wasn't there like a song, Lady Elaine? Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Maybe it wasn't Lady Elaine.
It was not Lady Elaine.
Maybe in my mind it was Lady Elaine.
It was not.
What was it? Lady. It was Lady of something.
It's Lay Lady Lay.
Lay Lady Lay. I thought it was Lady Elaine.
No.
God damn. I thought it was Lady Elaine all these years.
No. And I think it was like a Bob Dylan song. You just totally ruined that song.
Lady Elaine, creepy fucking puppet from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh my God.
Lady Elaine. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your story.
Okay, so I have a second story. When I had measles as a child, I had a very high fever, and my mom would catch me talking to somebody, and she would say, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? And I would say, Grandpa Reed. It's Grandpa. He's here. He's talking to me. And she'd say, no, you have a high fever because I had the measles. But I would just be in the room, like staring at the wall, talking to somebody. And she said, you know, she would come in. Who are you talking to? Grandpa Reed, Grandpa Reed. And so she started asking me questions, like, okay, details about who he was and what he was talking about. And she's like, how did you know that? Like, he died before you were even born. Like, and so she started to get freaked out because she was like, you can't know those things. Like, you can't know those details. You can't know that information because he died before you were born. And then She said, I remember I was like kind of in delirium a little bit, and I was laying in the bed, and like I said, I had a really high fever, and so she started to listen to me talk, and she's like, Aaron, like, you can't remember those things. All those things happened before you were born. And I kept talking to him, and I was talking to her, and I was talking to him. She was like, how? She's like, no, all these things happened before you were born. But I was like, well, he's here. He's here and talking to me, and he's holding my hand, and, you know, he's telling me everything's going to be okay. And she's like, Aaron, like, and I was talking to her about where they lived and their life and the things they did and their experiences. And she's like, Aaron, like, you. She's like, how would you ever even know this stuff? I was like, well, because Grandpa's telling me about it. Well, great-grandpa. And she's like, you can't. She's like, there's no way you could know any of this stuff. And I was like, well, he's here. He's been here. He's been holding me. He's been taking care of me. He's been talking to me. He's safe and, you know, and telling me that I would be okay. And it was like, and after I got better, she still talks about it. She said, oh my gosh, Aaron, I can't believe, like, the grandfather got you through your illness. He sat by you the whole time. And he wasn't really there. But he was there. And he kept me company. And he kept me safe. And he told me stories. And it was very sweet. So, anyway, if anybody has an angel, I mean, ghost stories are kind of scary sometimes, but he sat at the end of my bed. I could see him. I had never met him, but I could see him sitting at the end of my bed, and he would tell me about how my dad was little and what they did and how they ran their logging business, and I can remember him sitting at the end of the bed, and I can remember talking to him. And so, anyway, it was very sweet, very, very loving. So, I mean, it could have been the fever, because I almost died, but he was there. He was there every night sitting next to me.
So I'm going to guess it wasn't the fever, considering she got knowledge of things that she otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially since the mom kind of validated that there's no way that she would have known these things.
Yeah. I mean, initially, I get where you're just like, you go, oh, well, yeah, I've seen these pictures, but if, like, the nothing matched up, and, like, okay, that probably was. But, you know, not when you have that sort of information that comes through. So, wow, well, quite an experience there.
That's a good one.
It is. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you can, support our program, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, get all of the bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, the ebook, the audiobook. You get all that when you become an EPP, extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.